Simon Snow has never truly belonged anywhere. Bouncing between children's homes during holidays, he lives for his return to Watford School of Magics, the only place resembling home. As the prophesied greatest mage, Simon possesses immense power that explodes rather than flows naturally. While other students describe their magic as drawing from a well or maintaining a ballet position, Simon's erupts like a natural disaster. His final year brings unexpected challenges. His vampire roommate Baz is mysteriously absent, his girlfriend Agatha seems distant, and the mage, his mentor and only father figure, wants to send him away for safety. The burden of being the chosen one has hollowed Simon's sense of self. When asked about his personal dreams or desires, he has no answer. "I just do what's expected," he admits with resignation. His Spartan room contains no personal touches, as if he's afraid to claim anything as his own. This burden extends to those around him. Agatha stays, partly because it's expected, secretly believing Simon won't survive his final battle with the Humdrum, a mysterious entity creating expanding dead spots where magic vanishes completely. Even the mage sees Simon primarily as a weapon rather than a boy needing guidance. What makes this magical world so compelling isn't just the spells and creatures, but how deeply human its problems feel. Isn't there something universal about feeling like you're expected to be something you're not quite sure how to become? For 7 years, Simon and Baz have been roommates and sworn enemies. Simon convinced Baz plots his downfall, while Baz secretly loves the boy he's supposed to destroy. Their antagonism reflects the political conflict between the mage and the old families led by Baz's aristocratic clan. When Baz doesn't return for their final year, Simon is unexpectedly affected, searching the catacombs nightly until Baz's mother's ghost appears with a message about her murderer. Upon Baz's return, Simon proposes a truce to solve Natasha Grimpitch's murder. Their investigation forces them beyond hero and villain labels, revealing false narratives they've believed about each other. Their relationship transforms from enemies to allies to something more when Simon realizes his feelings transcend hatred. Their first kiss happens amid fire and danger. "I've wanted you since we were children," Baz confesses, while Simon admits thinking about Baz was like trying not to think about an elephant standing on my chest. The world of mages reflects real-world class struggles through its political divisions. The mage has democratized Watford's admissions while raiding aristocratic homes for dark artifacts. The old families represent magical aristocracy, believing magic should remain within controlled bloodlines. Their resistance stems from both prejudice and genuine concern about dangerous magical misuse. These tensions create personal rifts throughout the community. Penny's brother Premal joining the mage's men causes family conflict when he raids relatives' homes. Despite her privileged background, Agatha secretly yearns for normalcy, representing a questioning generation. As Simon and Baz investigate Natasha Pitch's murder, they uncover manipulation on both sides. The mage's equality campaign masks authoritarian tendencies, while the old family's resistance reveals legitimate concerns about magical stability. Their investigation exposes how both factions use ideology to hide their true motives, the mage consolidating power while the old families preserve privilege. The Humdrum represents the central magical threat, an entity creating expanding dead spots where magic vanishes. When Simon confronts it, he discovers it looks exactly like his 11-year-old self. This reveals the story's profound twist. The Humdrum isn't a separate villain, but an echo created by Simon's excessive magic use. His immense power tore Simon-shaped holes in the magical atmosphere, damaging the magical world. The Humdrum doesn't take magic, it's what's left when you're done, the absence created by Simon's power. Resolution comes through understanding that the Humdrum is a vacuum needing to be filled. By pouring his magic into this void, Simon neutralizes the threat but sacrifices his own magical abilities. Isn't there something profoundly human about discovering that what makes you special might also cause harm? The supernatural elements in Carry On serve as both plot devices and emotional metaphors. Baz's vampirism represents his core conflict, born to vampire hunters with fire magic heritage. "I come from fire magicians," he reflects, "but as a vampire, I'm flash paper." This contradiction fuels his feelings of monstrosity and unworthiness. The veil between life and death thins every 20 years during the visiting, allowing ghosts to deliver messages. Natasha Grimm Pitch's ghost appears to Simon, initiating the main investigation, while Lucy's ghost calls Simon her rosebud boy. Eb the goatherd and her brother Nicodemus illustrate contrasting responses to magical power. Nicodemus became a vampire, trading magic for immortality, while Eb channels her power into caring for goats and students. These supernatural elements metaphorically represent struggles with identity, mortality, and purpose. Vampirism signifying power and isolation, ghosts embodying unresolved trauma, and the veil suggesting boundaries between current and potential selves. Throughout Carry On, power demands steep costs. The mage murders for magical dominance, Boz's vampirism brings isolation, and Simon's extraordinary magic prevents him from casting simple spells. When Simon discovers the mage magically created him, killing Lucy, his mother, the horror of unchecked ambition becomes clear. The mage viewed Simon not as a son, but as a cracked vessel, a failed experiment. Sacrifice counters this selfishness. Eb dies protecting Agatha. Simon surrenders his magic to defeat the humdrum. And Penny risks family ties for Simon. These selfless acts contrast with the mage's exploitation. Lucy's sacrifice proves most poignant, her ghost reaching for Simon throughout. She gave her life bringing him into the world, loving him before I met you and more the moment I held you, not for power, but for love, the purest motivation amid political schemes. By the end, Simon must adapt to life without magic, finding freedom beyond prophecy. Carry On explores finding belonging amid uncertainty. Simon misses Watford's sour cherry scones, friends, and ambient magic, the only real home he'd known. Home evolves uniquely for each character. Agatha escapes to California, choosing normalcy over magical politics. Penny creates home with Simon in their London flat, turning friendship into chosen family. Baz finds home in his connection with Simon rather than family tradition. Simon's journey is most profound. Having lost his magic, his ticket to the magical world, he must discover who he is without it. "I feel like someone else sacrificed everything so I could have this normal life," he reflects, doubting he deserves happiness. He adjusts gradually, making tea without magic, navigating London, finding joy in simple moments. The novel ends with Simon making tea the normal way, with his vampire boyfriend studying and best friend nearby. It's not the heroic destiny promised, but something more valuable, a life of his choosing with people who love him for himself. Baz's final words, "Carry on, Simon," capture the novel's message. Despite trauma and loss, ordinary human connection might be the most powerful magic of all.